Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right, welcome back to the Rundown Down Post Game Show here on the Strickland YouTube channel, on the Strickland Twitter, and if you're listening to this today after Strickland Podcast Network, I'm Sam. I'm joined by Schwinn. Knicks lose Game 6 on the road to the Indiana Pacers, 116-103, bringing this to a tied series, 3-3, going into MSG on Saturday for a Game 7. Before we get into all that, though, of course, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today to use your mobile or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so I think we're going to start this. I think it's only right that we start this post game with the guy who we always give all the praise to when things are going right, to, you know, the guy who didn't really show up in the first half of tonight's game. This game is based on your stars, especially on the road when closing things out. And if your stars don't show up in the first half of games, it's very hard to bounce back from that and win on the road. And that's what you saw from today's Knicks game, as well as a bunch of other factors as well. But yeah, I think Jalen Brunson's performance was pretty bad. I mean, he went away from things that worked well, I think, in game five. I think that, you know, the guard-to-guard screening stuff, they went away from that. He did a lot of isolation possessions. It resulted in a lot of missed shots. Granted, they're shots that, you know, he makes a lot of the time, but, you know, it's best to go with what's working for you in those situations. He also just, I feel like he just didn't trust the pass that much in this game. Deuce and Dante, they had things kind of rolling in the first half, and I feel like Brunson just still kind of went away from getting them going even more in the second half. But Schwinn, your thoughts? Maybe this bagel.
I think Brunson, he had a terrible first half. I don't think there's anything really to deny that. I will say this. I thought he played well before he got subbed out at first, relatively. Like, yes, he obviously wasn't making shots, so there's a limit to how well you can play. But I thought he started off the game. He found Dante for a couple of wide open threes. He didn't connect on them. He found Deuce for a couple. He hit on those. I think he found Hart for another. Hart either missed or he drove and got stripped. Maybe they call a foul. I don't really remember, but I actually thought he was doing a good job of moving the ball around to start. But when he came back in, he was terrible to close the half. I mean, honestly, just awful. He obviously missed his last 11 shots of the half. He also missed three free throws, which is bizarre. I don't know what the hell's going on with them. The free throw shooting in Indiana specifically have been awful. I don't know what that's about.
Magnet.
Whatever. Rims. They don't have another game in Indiana this year, so good to be done with that. I don't know. He didn't have a great first half, but I think he ends up with 31 points on 26 shots. I think if there are other things, like, say what you want about him, and he had a terrible first half. There's no question. He had an awful first half. Josh Hart playing through whatever the hell was going on with him, abdominal strain. I don't know. That's what it seems like. If that's what he can give you, I mean, that was not, he played bad today, but I get why Hart played bad. There's nothing for me to say. I'm not even going to bother criticizing him because he clearly was feeling it right from pretty early in the game, which I had a few people in my mentions start talking about Tibbs minutes. And it's like, dude, I don't know how Tibbs minutes have to do anything with this Josh Hart thing. Anyway, leaving that aside, I thought Hart had a terrible game. That's two of your other five guys. So even though Brunson got it going in the second half, those guys gave you nothing. Again, with Josh Hart, totally understandable. With Isaiah Hartenstein, a little bit more confusing. I'm not sure what was, like, he just was moving so, it just felt like he was a step behind in every rotation today defensively. He had some nice passes. There's no denying that. He's always going to give you that. But his defense today was not great. And he just was a step behind everywhere. I don't know what it is about playing in Indiana, but he just played with no physicality again on that, on the defensive end. And this is like the third game now in Indiana where that's been the case. So I don't know what the fuck that was, but he had a terrible game. Dante was, look, some of that is he didn't get the ball much in the second half, but he also just didn't do anything in the second half. I thought his defense was terrible throughout the game. Like, he got burned by TJ McConnell. Basically anytime TJ McConnell wanted to drive on him, that was terrible. Like, again, so you want to say it's all on Brunson because he's a superstar and he didn't do anything in the first half. Like, I'm not going to argue. I don't feel like arguing that very much. But like, when he did turn it on in the second half, they just couldn't get stops. And it needs to be said, I thought Brunson did a terrible job just keeping, like, you got to put your body on Nesmith at some point. He's just crashing the glass constantly. You got to put your fucking body on him. He got beat to a couple loose balls by Pascal, which I didn't think he should have gotten beaten to. But that wasn't just him. It was the entire team. They just did not have that edge that they played with in game five. Maybe, and I do think part of that is Hart being limited because he is the guy that gives them that edge. He is the guy that wins a lot of those 50-50 balls. He is the guy that makes those extra hustle plays, which is why you live with some of his sloppy closeouts and stupid brain dead defense to start the game, which he had again. But again, like, I don't know exactly when he got hurt. It was very, very early on in the game that he started grabbing at his abdomen. But I don't know. I just don't. It's very hard for me to continue to analyze this team and be like super critical of guys when I just think they're like, and I get it. They had 2 days off for the game. I'm not saying fatigue was a factor in this, but I think that you reach a point where it's like, look, man, we can sit here and say whatever we want, but you're down OG and like, you're literally down five guys in the front court at this point. You're down Mitch, you're down Randall, you're down OG, you're down Hart. Today, I mean, Hart played, but I don't know. If people want to believe that was like a normal Josh Hart game, you can have at it. You're down Hart and you're down Bogdanovich. Like, it's easy to just keep saying like next man up, got to fight through it, no excuses. But like, it's not even an excuse; it's just the reality. Like,
soon the next man up is literally going to be like Shake Milton. Like, that's literally going to be the next man up.
If the next man up, if Josh Hart can't play. Or gives it a go on Sunday and just he's like he just doesn't have it. Your next man up is Jericho Sims. That's who it is. So like you can keep saying next man up and I respect that that's the message that Tibbs puts out there and that's what the team puts out there. You know, individual players. I'm sure Brunson will come out tonight and say this loss is on me. I've had a terrible first half. I got to be better. Blah 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 blah. And all those things can be true. And you're still working at a disadvantage because you just are down talent. Like, you're down talent. You're Precious Achiuwa would probably not even be playing if we were healthy. He didn't play the first, what, three games of the playoffs? Or if he did, he barely played in those games. Like, he didn't play. And he only played in game four because Mitch got hurt. Mitch was out for that game. So Precious Achiuwa had to play. When Mitch came back for game five, guess who didn't play? Precious. When Mitch was healthy for game six in game one of the series, guess who didn't play? Precious. Like, he wouldn't be playing if your team was relatively healthy, but they're not. They're not even close to relatively healthy. They're not even reasonably healthy. They're literally a skeleton crew. And I gotta say, I saw maybe the one tweet in the history of Ball Don't Stop today that I agreed with. I was amazed by this tweet because it was actually accurate. He tweeted after the game, he was like, look, no disrespect to the Knicks. But this version of the Pacers is probably going to be a more competitive matchup for the Celtics than the Knicks would be. And if Josh Hart is out, that is a fact. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to play the Celtics, have fucking Precious at the four, have zero spacing, throw Jericho Sims out there for fucking make-a-wish minutes, and like, you know, like, what the fuck? Like, you're not, it is what it is. Like, I don't, you know, we can sit here and talk about Brunson and whatever, but like, I just have a hard time getting too upset about this right now because it just sucks. Like, it really sucks. Like, this team has battled through so much. And you're thinking, like, man, if they can close this out tonight, they've got 3 days off until Tuesday. I know Woj said before the game that OG probably wouldn't have played game one anyway. But you're thinking, okay, maybe he doesn't play game one. Game fucking two wouldn't be until Thursday. You're thinking, man, if you can just win this game, maybe you punt game one more or less. Not really like you're going to punt it because Tibbs doesn't operate like that. But you're not going to win game one. You get him back for game two. And Porzingis is probably not going to play game one or two, which is what Woj already said. And like you're thinking, like, man, that like there's actually a chance that they could pull this off, that they could. But I don't know, man. Like, I thought pretty early on when I was watching Hart and he's grabbing his abs. I know there are people making jokes about, like, oh, maybe he's cramping because he's just eating all these Mike and Ikes before the game. And I was just like, dude, I don't know. That doesn't nobody. If he was cramping, he wouldn't be like sprinting up the floor and stuff. Like, he wouldn't be able to do the things that he was doing, even if he wasn't doing them at 100%. So I was pretty concerned pretty early on in this game. And look, man, I think Pacers fans will rightfully celebrate. They should. I'd be fucking celebrating if I was a Pacers fan about winning this game and having a pretty good fucking shot in game seven for a lot of reasons. You had to capitalize on your opponent's vulnerability, and they did that. So credit to them for that. But like, it just sucks as a Knicks fan because you're like this team battled so hard to put themselves in a position where you're thinking, like, man, maybe there's a shot that we can actually make this Cinderella run and it'll be 99 all over again. And I don't know, dude. I just think the Josh Hart injury is just, it's one too many. I don't, game seven, MSG crowd, maybe Brunson, it has a fucking, you know, superstar Hall of Fame performance or something. And that gets you across the line in that series. But dude, abdominal strains are tricky, man. And if that's what Josh Hart has going, let me tell you something. That's not going to go away. That doesn't go away quick. You don't get rid of an abdominal strain by resting for like 3 days or something. Like, that is a lingering injury that you usually need to rest. I mean, this is the, a couple years ago, I remember Damian Lillard, he came back from the Olympics. He had an abdominal strain, right? And he ended up having to get, he shot like absolute shit.
Yeah.
For like the first, like, yeah. And then he got surgery and he was out for the rest of the year. And I don't know the severity of it, obviously. Even though I'm Indian, I'm not a doctor either. But like, I just can't imagine that he's going to be good to go on Sunday at 100%. And I don't see how it gets better if he plays through it. So maybe he can give you that game Sunday. You know, you just fucking get him on horse tranquilizer and fucking deer antler spray. Fucking just give him a fucking couple bumps before the game.
Horse steroid.
Yeah, inject him with cortisone and he can give you that game on Sunday. But like, I hate to say it, but like, I love how many times this year's team has made me look dumb for doubting their ability to overcome. But that one, man, again, let me tell you, if they win that game on Sunday with Josh Hart playing at like 50% or something, or not playing at all, I do not give a shit what happens in the conference finals. I really don't, because that would be incredible for them to even make a conference finals with that long list of injuries. So look, if people want to, we can talk about the Brunson stuff in the first half or whatever, but I didn't really know what to say at a certain point when you see the Josh Hart thing. And
once Josh Hart kind of like kept going to the bench, I was like, yeah, tonight is done and game seven, good luck. Because that guy gives us the extra edge that puts us over the top, even when we're at half strength as a roster. And if he's not a go, even at like 80%, it's like, good luck. Khan, you've just joined us. Your thoughts on tonight's game and going forward, I guess. Whatever else means that means.
I'm going to start. I heard Schwinn talking about it. I'm going to be more critical of Brunson just because I think if he plays more in, I don't want to say attack mode, but like I thought he did do a little bit of hunting for the refs in the second quarter. That, and I also thought he just kind of played stupid in the second quarter. If those two things didn't happen, we're in this game, we're not down 10 at halftime, we're probably down bucket or two, and things are just different. So I'm not looking to pile on him like for the blame of this game, but he does need to take blame as our guy. And I thought Tibbs, you know, for all the praise you've given him, this isn't anything that is going to be damning for Tibbs, right? But I thought he stuck with Hart a lot after the ab strain. He was sloppy before that. He was sloppier after that. Didn't look.
But he always starts games sloppy. That's like his thing. Like he never is. He started every game basically, and it is what it is. Like that's just the type of player he is. Maybe he needs to like it takes. He's like, oh, there's an NBA game happening. I need to lock in here.
he needs to wake up or whatever the hell. Like I get it, but there is a point in time where they had Siakam just in his spot, you know, getting to whatever post feed he wanted to, getting to the line. And I was like, all right, I don't think Josh is making enough of a difference right now. I would just play Precious and try it. Because you have your spacing. You got Deuce making a big impact today. He started off the game fucking amazing. Dante was hitting. I don't want to put anything on one person. But there was some stuff today that I felt was controllable, and we didn't do a good job of controlling it, especially.
The free throw line. I mean, that shit. There's nothing to even say. Like,
playoffs. It's been abysmal.
There's nothing to say. It's like it's inexplicable, and it's like it's Brunson. It's Burks. This guy was like fucking 91% in Detroit. I'm pretty sure he's shooting like 75% in New York now. It's so bizarre how this has happened. But the thing I don't know, and maybe it's Brunson, could be Brunson, but like they put Halliburton on Hart and then they weren't using Hart much as a screener in the second quarter, which I makes sense, like because Hart's probably sitting there like, dude, I can't screen right now. I am in pain. And like that's so I just like, yeah, could Tibbs have adjusted quicker? Like this is my thing is like when you're dealing, I'm just going to lay this out. This is actually has happened in this series. In this series, we had Brunson disappear for a quarter and a half in game two. In that same game, we had OG die for the last quarter and a half of the game, and he's been out for the series since then. We had Mitch go out for the rest of the season, effectively, after game one. We had Bogdanovich go out in game four, or was it game five of the Sixer series? He played like 1 minute in one of the whichever game it was.
I think it was
game four. You've like Randall has not been available at all. And like, I'm sorry, it's like, at a certain point, it's easy or not easy, but it's like, I think it's always when you lose and when you lose in a game where you feel like you're the better, a series where you feel like you're the better team and so many things go against you in the injury department. It's the convenient thing is to look and start blaming X or Y or X, Y, and Z and whatever and these things. And it's like, you're just at a certain point, you reach a critical mass of injuries where it's like, look, man, okay, Tibbs could have put Hartenstein on Siakam sooner. Hartenstein was terrible tonight. So it's not like, is there a guarantee that was going to work? I don't know. Like, I just think Precious gave you what he could give you, but Precious at like 20 minutes in a game, is pretty, he can be really good. When you have to be like, hey, Precious, I need you to be the primary defender on Pascal Siakam now.
For 30 plus different. Minutes, it's yeah, like, it's, hell no.
It's just, it's just hard. And like, you know, it's easy to keep saying we're the better team. But like, you keep losing actual talent, I really have hated listening to some of these national podcasts where it's like, they act like the Randall injury is just a big joke. And they're like, well, he was terrible in the playoffs. So why would he be important? I'm like, that's such a dumb way of looking at it. And also like, it wasn't just the playoffs. Like there's a cumulative impact to all this stuff. And you lose him, you lose. We all know the injuries. Like, I don't really know what to say. Look, I'm sure that the national conversation will be whatever it is. I would like to believe that us as Knicks fans can actually be like, use our brains and be like, look, I'm not trying to make excuses for them, but I can understand why you lost this game. I think it's crazy. Like, this is the kind of the point. Brunson has a bad quarter, right? There's nobody that can pick up that offensive slack. So Brunson, did he force a lot of bullshit in that second quarter? Absolutely, 100% agree with you. But part of the problem is that, like, if he's not forcing it, it's like, we're going to have Dante start creating off the bounce. We're going to have Deuce start creating off the bounce. Like, you don't have good options. So your pivots, you don't have pivots, and then you're actually losing like the existing kind of template of the team, which might be it, which has a chance of winning. Like, you actually have a chance of winning the series if Josh Hart is healthy. With Josh, look, maybe they can do it anyway because you have game seven at home. Game sevens are weird all the time, and that's just how they are. But like, there's nothing beyond that. Like, if Josh Hart is suffering from any type of oblique or abdomen strain or whatever the fuck it is, you're fucked. Like, you are fucked. You're either fucked on Sunday or you're going to get four games of fucked against the Celtics because you don't have the talent. You don't have the depth. You don't have the pivots. You don't have the options. You don't have anything that Tibbs can do or that Brunson can do. Or like, it's just about, can Brunson play out of his fucking mind for a few games and sneak a couple wins or something? That's literally what you're talking about at that point. And it's not feasible. It's what it is. Like, this season sucks in the sense of, it doesn't suck. This has been a great season. I will, no matter what happens on Sunday, and you know, if they win on Sunday, whatever happens to the Boston series, I'm not going to look at this season and be like, wow, it's not going to be a failure. To me, it's going to feel like a missed opportunity. And it's going to feel like a missed opportunity.
What if in Knicks history?
Yeah. And it'll be like a missed opportunity that I'm sorry. I will never, I find the continued Tibbs arguments so stupid and ridiculous. Because the initial injuries that kind of put that increased the load on guys had nothing to do with too many minutes or any of that bullshit. So, it is what it is, and hopefully they give us one more final last hurrah and a memory to cherish and get us to an Eastern Conference Finals on Sunday. But I think if you're expecting anything beyond that, please let me know where you get your drugs, because I would love some of those.
Real quick, did you guys talk about OG and like game seven status?
I mean, he's out.
Oh, he's okay, because Tibbs was asked if OG can play in game seven, and he said that medical said he's day to day.
Yeah, that's Tibbs is not going to say anything. Okay. Tibbs is never going to say anything.
That's Tibbs speak.
Remember that entire thing? Remember he had that entire press conference when OG first got hurt, and they kept asking him, like, when's he back? He's like, it's medical. That's medical. So it is what it, like, I don't know. Like, I think I was upset during that second quarter, obviously watching Brunson play the way he was playing. But as the game goes on, you just see Hart kind of like, he clearly doesn't have
laboring.
I thought you could tell in that second quarter when the Pacers really got rolling on offense, Siakam especially. Like, I understand Josh Hart is obviously going to give up a variety. Like, Pascal can shoot over him. So it just, you have to kind of accept that. But he couldn't even fight. Like, he did not want the contact. He was not being physical at all. And that's literally like the last thing you ever expect from Josh Hart. I thought, like, Nesmith had a drive where Hart went up, and you could just tell, like, he didn't really want to absorb the blow as Nesmith drove in. He made a layup on him. But, like,
yeah,
all these guys. And say, like, okay, you want to be critical of their effort tonight, fine. But look, all these guys have given everything and more than I could have asked for as a fan. And so, like, I'm so uninterested in playing the blame. I'm not saying you were or Sam was, but I'm just very uninterested in playing the blame game with really anything. And that includes Tibbs. Like, he could have thrown Hartenstein on him sooner, but it's like, you know, what the fuck are we talking about here?
Hart had a fast break layup too. I forgot if it was, I think it was on Nembhard, and he like chucked up some bullshit opposite side, like right hand jelly. And it wasn't even close. Like, it was a brutal possession. That's the play where Josh Hart, if he's healthy, just goes right into his chest, maybe gets an and one. Definitely goes to the line. So it sucks, man. It sucks.
It sucks now even more because, like, people are doing the whole Tibbs minutes discourse on Twitter again for, like, the umpteenth time this past, like, 2-3 days. It's ridiculous.
Her injury is another one where, like, we clearly saw on the two plays they showed us mechanisms for the injury, right? Like, he went up to get the board with Pascal. He tried to rip it down, immediately caught his stomach after that, and was holding his abs. Like, it's not – it's not fair, or it's not, you know, in like an honest conversation where you're going to blame Tibbs for that.
And like Schwinn said, like the thing that even led to all these guys getting increased minutes is the freak injuries that happened that weren't because of minutes. Like Randall, Mitch, OG, like all these guys got hurt in like such, I mean, OG's wasn't even a soft tissue injury. It was like a loose bone fragments in his freaking elbow. Like who the hell ever heard of that shit happening? Like OG gets the weirdest injuries. It's always been the thing with him, even when he was with Toronto. But yeah, I mean, like all these injuries, like that's what happened that led to the increased load. But like before that, like I think Schwinn, we talked about it like the last post game or whatever it was, that like these guys were at like solid minutes. Like Brunson and Randall were like 35 minutes. Like guys like Dante and Hart were like barely under 30 minutes a game when the team was fully healthy. Like Thibs had found a really solid balance of everyone getting the right amount of minutes, and it wasn't anyone getting overworked. And that's why they were like steamrolling teams during that like 12-2 stretch. So it's just like this whole discourse is so stupid now, because like all these guys are just dropping like flies, and it's like, oh, let me go back to confirmation bias of something that I think because of something that happened from years prior that doesn't apply to this situation right now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you.
All right, let's get to some comments. Shout out to everyone that's here.
I'll just read this. Tom Thibodeau on if OG and Anobi could play again in game seven. Whatever medical says, what are they saying day to day? He also said, Tom Thibodeau said he doesn't know what the Josh Hart injury is. Said, we'll see on if he knew a status moving forward. That doesn't sound great to me. I don't think he's. And honestly, dude, the way he was. Just don't play him.
I don't think he's playing. He's going to play, or I should say if he does play, he's going to be like not even 50% like you said earlier. He'll be like 20% of what he is. Because like you said, if he loses his physical edge, what is he? Not much.
Yeah, I mean, his physicality is his entire, like that's what makes him Josh Hart. And without that, like, I mean, you saw it today. Like, they're like that fucking rebound that T.J. McConnell got off the air ball. Like, you can see Hart. Hart gets that rebound if he's not fucking trying to avoid contact. It was just hard to watch him. And like, honestly, it's even crazier to even trying to evaluate it, just because how can you evaluate? You know, it's like, it's I don't know, I just can't do it. It's crazy, but it sucks. It is what it is.
All right, let's get to some comments. Shout out to the people that are here.
This is from Omar Youssef. We need to lock in as a fan base and as a family. One thing to be critical, but all this trolling going on online is just, that's not fandom, and this team deserves better than that. Some of the Brunson stuff is just ridiculous. Some people are ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
Yeah. Chris Bernardi says, pretty simple, no continuity offensively, messy rotations, and Brunson trying to go 1v1 instead of relying on his teammates. Also, Hart being hurt, can't read, and losing that spark is a nightmare. Yeah, I mean, that's like the biggest blow, because like once Hart stopped like going coast to coast and like doing all the Josh Hart things, that's when like the game was over, before it was over. And it didn't help that the Pacers decided to like start hitting a whole bunch of threes to open that fourth quarter.
I mean,
they didn't hit like a bunch, but like they hit like the timely ones, and then like TJ gets that freaking tip reverse layup. They got like all these offensive rebounds
The thing is, like, our transition defense today was kind of a mess. It got worse when Hart went out. It was hard to tell. Our defense was not good from the start. But, like, the one thing that I think is definitely true is they've had one good defensive game in the series, which was last game. They were super disciplined. It also helped that they totally dominated the glass. That obviously helps. But, like, bro, you're closing out to Miles Turner. Close out to his right fucking hand. He cannot drive left. The one time they closed out to his left, he dribbled the ball to like the free throw line and then took the worst jump shot ever that like hit the front of the rim, had no chance of going in. He cannot drive left, close to his right hand. When you close to Obi Toppin, you don't jump. You just close out to him with your hand up. That's it. You close out to him with your hand up. You don't fucking jump at him and do a flyby. Same thing with Nembhard. Same thing with Nesmith. Like literally, most of these guys, none of them are like these crazy difficult. Like they're not guys that make difficult threes. Really, like they might, they have a lot of good shooting, but these are not guys that are taking like insane movement threes and shit like that. Their entire game is based on drive and kick. You've got to take away something. You've got to close down.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You have to close the space without just conceding straight line drives. And they've been so poorly disciplined about that throughout the series. And tonight was no different. But again, like that's... You know what? Lack of discipline, lack of focus, all those things, that can happen when you're playing shorthanded and you've had that kind of strain on you mentally and physically for extended periods, which obviously this team has had. So it's the reality of it. I mean, they've got to be better. Hopefully they are on Sunday. Again, game sevens are usually very disgusting and weird. So
I think that favors us.
Yeah, and so you might naturally get better defense just because everyone's going to be like, everybody plays tight in a game seven for the most part. It's very rare there are guys that are like awesome in game seven. Like you can go look at the history of game sevens. Most of the time, it's a disgusting game.
Yeah, look at the Cavs versus Magic game. That was an absolutely disgusting game.
I'd rather not look at that game.
Yeah, it was that's the kind of game where. If Brunson goes like fucking 12 of 32, you don't really care because you're just going to need him to unload the clip. Because it's bullshit in a game seven for your superstar to be like, all right, Deuce, I need you to take 16 shots today.
Deuce,
like,
I believe in you.
Yeah. So it is what it is. We'll see what happens on Sunday.
I mean, best possible outcome is we get Magnet Ball and blow him out like in game five, but. That's never how it goes in game sevens because the NBA needs their script, man. You know, they need a close game seven, a nasty close game seven.
Let Tyrese Haliburton not show up.
He has a reputation. He decided to yap his mouth when he went up 15 again today, but was nowhere to be found in game five, per usual.
Yeah, so corny.
Oh, man. And yeah, Tony Ferrano. Says, and good Lord, they bite so hard on the pump fakes all series.
It's been everybody.
Yeah, everyone's just like always jumping for joy on the pump fakes. I don't get it.
Hart's been the worst.
The painful series.
Like, really, like, he had one today early in the game. And I was just like, dude, can you just not jump? You're not blocking the shot. This is like, I'm going to sound like Clyde. What is he doing, Mike? He can't block the shot there.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, here we go. This is good. John Larry says, our good friend Billy Reinhardt says he doesn't think the OG injury is that much of a difference.
AKA Chuck from iCarly.
I mean, it's really hard for Billy Reinhart to have overrated the Knicks, considering he thinks that the Nets are just as good as them. So
he thinks the Nets are going to be a dynasty.
Yeah, they just don't have a star. If they get Donovan Mitchell, they'll be right there at the top.
Oh,
of the
no, East no, no, no. Schwinn. They do have a star. Haven't you heard about Cam Thomas?
There you go.
He's actually just Jalen Brunson at the same time. Yeah. Just
one piece away.
Yep.
Joke.
Don't scroll that silly timeline, by the way. Don't scroll and see how many times he tweeted about Donovan Mitchell.
He might think about Donovan Mitchell more than Donovan Mitchell thinks about himself.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Brad Schussel says defense on Siakam was just awful all night. It wasn't great. Precious was – he did as much as you can reasonably expect him to do. He's not going to be a great defender on Siakam. To me, he's never – he's good on switches, but playing at the four, I don't know. It's weird. He's good on switches, but I always think when he defends at the four, he's just not anywhere near as impactful as he can be when he plays the five. So, but I agree with you. I mean, it was not good on him, but like OG, that's OG's matchup. That's like he's the type of guy you have OG for. And without OG, it is what it is. So you're going to play hard on him, or you're going to play Precious on him, or iHeart, and none of those matchups are ideal. I think iHeart would be the best, but then you have Miles Turner outside. It's just all of this. It's like you're plugging one hole and then you get a leak somewhere else, right? It's like it's just hard to keep trying to find solutions.
Yeah,
we don't have a matchup for him anymore, man. Like,
yeah, no.
I mean, I'm telling you, Sims is going to play. Sims is 100% playing. If Hart is limited or not playing at all, Sims is going to play. There's no question about that in my mind. You actually cannot just be like six guys. That's it. Like, that's just ridiculous. You can't do it.
But I'd rather see Shake. I'd rather see Shake, man.
But like it doesn't change the Siakam thing, which I think is common.
I know. And then I literally cannot watch Jericho Sims minutes. Like, I literally cannot. I will jump from my window.
Get ready to watch Jericho Sims minutes, buddy.
I will jump from my window. My window,
right here.
Y'all see this? Right here.
Yeah.
What floor are you on, though?
How far is that? Yeah.
It's a pretty good height. All
right.
If I land, my legs will crush. So
you'll still be alive, though. You'll still be able to follow the game.
Yeah, you'll be no different from the rest of the fucking rotation.
Dog.
Don asked, was iHeart hurt at the end? I don't.
With this team, probably.
Maybe, but he just didn't.
Who isn't hurt at this point?
He's been really up and down throughout these playoffs and this series. I think that he's. That Achilles, I think, has been a thing all year. Obviously, we know that. It wouldn't surprise me if he just has some good days and some bad days. But he was terrible tonight. It is what it is. He's on the floor. He was terrible tonight. So even if he was hurt, I don't know. I mean, you have to judge him for what it is. He was not good.
Yeah, he's not going to play that bad again on game seven.
I don't know. These guys have this weird thing where, like, they can't, like, all of them can't play well on the road.
We need
a classic Dante game in game seven, by the way.
Yeah, Dante needs – like I want to get to this. This is actually – Hawkeye 420 says, Brunson also froze Deuce and Dante in the last six-ish minutes of the second. We never overcame that. I think there was some of that going on, but I also just think, like, if you – again, they switched Haliburton onto Hart, and if you the Pacers' entire thing this season has been that they don't give up threes. That's actually, like, they are very, very good about not giving up threes. They do that at the expense of giving you anything you want in the paint. Problem is, the only good paint scorer we have is Brunson in the half court, really. So this would be a matchup for Randall to take advantage of. But as we all know, Randall is only with us in spirit, not in body, unfortunately. And it all just sucks. I agree. He could have done more to get him involved. I think Tibbs will have to go to the drawing board and really, like, he's he's gonna have to come up with some fucking something, because he's got to get those guys involved. Those are your only other offensive threats, really, at this point. I heart floater, sure, but like, it's not like he can, and his passing is obviously always going to be a weapon, but it's not like you can just throw him the ball in the post and be like, all right, dude, go to work. Like, that's not the type of center he is.
Also, the I heart floater hasn't really been there for a little. Like, the last
they're sitting on it. They're sitting on it.
Yeah. Also, he had that thing after game four, right, where he couldn't really do well picking his arm up. So he's just really limited right now. Like, add him to the list of guys who are like just fucking out there, like tattered and bruised.
It's not so much that, like, everybody's limited to some degree at this point in the season. If you're on the floor, even if you're on the floor, like, everybody's got dealing with something. The problem is they just don't have guys.
Sacral contusion.
Yeah, but they just don't have guys to even be on the floor. Like, they don't have guys. Like, there's so many guys that just aren't out there right now, and that's the problem. If you had like Randall and OG and Mitch and Bogdanovich and all of them were out there, but they were dealing with something, I would much rather have that than just not have them. And that's the problem, is you just don't have them at all. So, yeah.
Dibs in those damn minutes. Chris Bernard, he says, people who try to bring up trust your bench players. Well, Dibs tried with Sims, Precious, Burks, and they were bad, especially towards certain stretches of the regular season. And he says, people harping on D-Rose yet, forget Joakim Noah played 40 minutes at his MVP level. Also the minutes thing just doesn't apply to this team. I mean, we talked about it with the whole, like, when they were fully healthy, the rotation was playing decent NBA minutes. Like, they weren't, no one was going over what they should have.
I'm not talking about minutes. If somebody wants to complain about minutes,
the minutes are there.
They should do it in the mirror. That's what they should do. Complain about minutes in the mirror. Talk about it with yourself. Do you want to win games or do you not want to win games? That's what it comes down to for me, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, people. I had people in my mentions a couple days ago during game four, I think it was. They were talking about, like, oh, he should have played guys like Daquan Jeffries and Shake Milton during games against, like, the Hornets and other bad teams during that later part of the regular season. It's like, well, then you probably don't get home court in this series.
I also don't think we're playing against the Hornets right now. Like,
and I just think
people were saying that they should have done that in the regular season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to make up for minutes, and it's like,
I just think people are like, it's, everybody wants to find something. Oh, this is why. That's why. This is the reason. This is.
And it's like, no, these are just freak injuries that happen, and this is how they have to make up for it.
It is what it is. Like, sometimes there.
You
sometimes
get dealt with shit in hand.
Yeah, there's sometimes there's just not anything you're gonna do. Like is anybody sitting there fucking watching the Grizzlies this past year, and we're like, man, Taylor Jenkins, this guy just killing this team. It's like, no, like, they got a shit ton of injuries. And what are you going to do? Like, get fucking John Morant.
Well, the thing is, people just also have confirmation bias about Thibs, and they want their bias to just, like, be true for these things that happened in the past for something that's happening now.
And I'll say this. We were talking about this a little bit before the start of the game. I never watched these pregame shows. Thank God I didn't, because I would have fucking lost mind fucking listening to Stephen A. Smith rank the top five runs by small guards, which was
that jinxed us alone.
Yeah, just an absurd fucking crazy thing he put up there. But I guess Bob Myers said something like, when is there, like, magic gonna run out? Like, and it's like, dude, are you, like, this is the real thing that is happening, and this is the thing that we're trying to talk their way around. But when so many of these national media people and people on Twitter or whatever, they start talking about the minutes, and they're like, oh, they're almost rooting for an injury to happen.
Yeah.
So that they can be like, oh, see, I told you.
That's exactly,
I told you, Tibbs is killing these guys. I'm sorry. That's so disgusting to me. That's fucking nasty. That's really nasty. And you're going to see a lot of victory laps being taken, especially with this Josh Hart one now. A lot of victory laps. Oh, well, you guys,
they're doing it now. I'm like arguing people on the timeline right now. It's like, what's wrong with you people?
No, they did it after OG, and it's like I said earlier, like, I don't know, man. If you don't care about winning, then sure. If you care about winning, then you shouldn't be complaining about the minutes, man. You want to throw Charlie Brown Jr. out there? Like, there is no win-win scenario here. Tibbs is going to get cooked regardless, because he's either going to not play the guys who can win ball games, or he's going to play the guys who can win ball games too much. And he chose the path to win ball games. So, like he always will. So, you can just keep complaining. It doesn't have any, you know.
This is from Jordan Bob. Was Andrew Nembhard's hit on Josh Hart abs dirty, yay or nay? That was the one at the end of the first half, right? Honestly, they didn't even show that.
He's talking about the one that initially like caused Josh Hart to start grimacing.
This is not
Andrew Nembhard's like a dork, but I don't think he was.
This was not like an Embiid. Yeah, this was not an Embiid situation.
And he's honestly a dork, though.
And honestly, I'll just say this: like, even if he did, I didn't really catch it, but like, even if he did throw an elbow into Josh Hart's ribs or whatever, or his abs, and that's what caused this injury. I can't get to the point where I'm like, that's dirty. It's like, dude, is it dirty in the sense like it's a foul and you're trying to get away with it? Sure. But like, that's also the type of thing where like, what does it mean when, if you're talking like, oh, like, make sure this guy like feels you, right? Or like, make sure that you're, you know, you get into him or whatever it is. Like, you're effectively telling someone to be physical with your opponent. Like, I have a tough time feeling like stuff like that is dirty. I just think it is what it is. It's part of the game.
Yeah, it is what it is at that point.
Even Ace just had the dumbest closing remarks on the post game.
As he usually does with anything.
That's surprising. A guy that didn't watch the Knicks all year has a dumb comment about the Knicks. Amazing.
He went on his little rant and he just said, here's the bottom line. There is no tomorrow. There's no tomorrow. Get it done. Get it done Sunday at 3:30. Be ready. I don't give a damn what you've got to do. Figure it out. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Stephen A.
What a great motivational speaker.
Yeah, because actually, if he didn't say that, I thought there was going to be a game after Sunday at 3:30 if we lost.
Well, I also thought that they would not try if he didn't say
that. Yeah, that's true. I also thought they wouldn't.
Very Eric Adams energy from that right there.
The Knicks are going to figure it out because he said so.
This one is from John Leary. Isaiah Hartenstein talks about Josh Hart's status for Sunday. He'll do whatever to play. If his leg's not falling off, he'll probably play. I think he'll try. I don't think you're going to get much from him. I think you're going to get a guy out there giving you what he has. And what he has is going to be like
very limited.
It's what we saw today. Like that's, it's not, it's a boy. It's basically like it's like a 40-hour turnaround time, basically from the end of the game today to tip off on Sunday. It's about a 40-hour turnaround time.
But
like,
you're not the finest breast milk on earth, yo.
Yeah, he can drink whatever the fuck he wants to drink. He can get injected with whatever he wants to inject himself with. He can snort whatever he wants to snort. He can do whatever the fuck he wants to do, and that he's just going to be limited. It is what it is. Hopefully, he can tough it out, like I said, and give us one. Kind of
one last hurrah.
Yeah, one last heroic Josh Hart performance, and that's enough with everybody else to get us over the line. But you know, it is, again, it just is what it is. I probably have said that way too many times at this point, but yeah.
Drinking game. Take a shot every time Schwinn says that tonight on the post game.
Don't do that. enjoy your Saturday. Don't be extremely hungover for Saturday.
Oh man. Whoa, my comments just disappeared. Okay, there we go. Jordan Bubb from, I think this is from Dante DiVincenzo. He says, this is exactly the reason why we played the last couple games to get that 2 seed. Again, that's why you don't punt those games playing Shake Milton and the Charlie Browns and the Jacob Toppins of the world. He says, this is the exact reason we're going home, game 7. We know the Garden's going to be rocking. We're trying to handle business. Dante DiVincenzo. Yeah, I mean, this is why you don't play those guys that everyone was clamoring for now to supplement minutes. You try your best to get the 2 seed because it matters in a series like this.
Yeah. Larry Israel said it's kind of weird we beat them playing their style last game and they beat us playing ours. I mean, this year, can I just say, like, if there's
NBA one thing playoffs as a whole.
Yeah, if there's one thing I've taken away from this series and from the Minnesota-Denver series is that nobody knows anything.
Yes.
Nobody knows anything. And
bro, I called Jaden McDaniels Jaden McDoodoo, and then he decided to turn to Scottie Pippen after like 2 minutes to start the game.
Nobody. This is the perfect as Nick Nurse wonderfully put in the first round, nothing matters. Nothing matters, and we'll see what happens Sunday. I imagine that it'll be a close game. Hopefully we can get across the line. That's all I can say.
Another Knicks close game. I wouldn't have it any other way. That's just the Knicks way of these playoffs. Let's see.
This is also Jordan Bell posted this. It's not easy, but I think we just have to keep pushing. Isaiah Hartenstein talks about how the Knicks can deal with their mounting injuries. Yeah, there's nothing else to really say. That's all they can do is just put in whatever they have left into the tank. In the tank, give what all they got on Sunday. Their reward, if they win on Sunday, will be a fantastic trip to Boston on Tuesday.
Well, they'll probably get called all sorts of sweet names by the Boston fans.
Not Hartenstein.
Well, Schwed. He may look like them.
They don't know. Yeah.
Omar Yusuf asks, can Alec Burks go for 40 plus minutes? I mean,
that's Dude, this Thibs is so...
this is 2021-2002 Thibs' wet dream right here.
Is
like, Alec Burks going for 40 minutes?
If Hart can't play on Sunday, he has to start either Precious or Alec Burks. What a world we live in.
Four guard lineup.
I will say the one thing:
Brunson,
the one thing,
Deuce, Burks, and Dante.
The one thing I will say that, like, and I think this is like the one actual valid criticism that I stand by with regard to Tibbs in this game is, I thought it was weird. He pulled Deuce in both halves because he was trying to match his minutes with Halliburton's. And I was like, just leave him on. Like, he's one of your best players. So just leave him on. You don't need to manage his minutes. But, like, you know, maybe, and I know that the people, not necessarily people here, but I know there will be many people who will never believe this. He might have just been like operating in that second half, understanding Josh Hart is limited. And as much as we would love to push our way back into this game, that maybe wasn't realistic. And so he was trying to manage guys as best as he could. Maybe that was his thinking with Deuce, but Deuce needs to play like 40 plus on Sunday. He has to go major minutes. Dante has to go 40 plus. I think Brunson is going to go full 48 on Sunday. I'd be shocked if he doesn't, unless it's like a blowout one way or the other towards the end of the game. But I think he'll be out there for the entirety of the game. I don't think he's going to sit. He hasn't done it yet with Brunson, I don't think, in this playoffs. I don't think he's had a full 48 yet.
This is what you're saving for.
Get ready for a full 48, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, are we looking at maybe Arthur playing 48?
No, he can't. He cannot. He literally cannot. You can't ask your center to go 48 minutes. It's not possible.
Yeah, that's insane.
Tibbs did it in the regular season.
With Iheart?
I think he did, no?
No, I don't think so. I'd be shocked if he ever did that with Iheart. Iheart was on like a minutes limit.
Maybe Precious might have played. Precious might have played like close to a full 48.
But Precious isn't like a real big. Precious is like some – he's Precious. Precious.
He's an energy guy.
He's our CTE.
To put it nicely. So
Precious has CTE, but he's our CTE case.
Yeah, he played 43 minutes and like a couple other 40-minute games, but never 48. So, yeah.
Yeah, asking a big to go 48 is crazy.
It's been our season. We have more than enough. Whoever's on the court, Dante DiVincenzo talks about Josh Hart's injury and how the Knicks will respond.
That's cool.
Again, I respect that they have this mentality. That's all I can say. I'm not even saying that sarcastically. I mean that. I appreciate it. It's like, it's a good soundbite, and it's something that other teams and fans will like. Well, you guys said you have enough, and it's like, dude, if they started crying about the injuries, you clown them for that too. So. I think you say that, and I think that's the right mentality to have. I would much rather do that than do the Darvin Ham thing and start crying because fucking Jared Vanderbilt was out for the last 3 months of the season or whatever.
What a guy, that guy. What a guy. Jordan Bob, looking, he says, looking for silver linings. Jalen Brunson scored 26 points. It was 9 of 13, 3 of 5 from the three in the second half.
He's got to take more threes. I know that the three ball has not been great for him in the playoffs so far, but like the way they were defending him, I'm like, dude, just take them. Like, start taking more.
Yeah, he started getting into the step backs a couple times in the second half, and I was like, that's been there the whole series.
Omar Yusuf, OG and Hart, Deer Antler, HGH, Icy Hot, Electric Stim, Ice Bats, Osterine, please, please, please.
Bro, get them on whatever the hell Al Horford was on for that last game. What the hell?
What is Osterine? What is Osterine? What is that?
I have no clue what Osterine is.
I got to look this up, though.
No, but I'm so serious. Like, get them on whatever the hell Al Horford's old ass was on, and scoring 22-15 and whatever he did. Six threes. Get the hell out of my face, man.
Osterine is a type of drug called a selective androgen receptor modulator. It's not approved by the FDA, but is sometimes found in supplements. Osterine attaches to proteins in the body known as androgen receptors. When Osterine binds to these receptors, it tells muscles to grow. All right, Omar, I see you. Fucking my fucking pusher over here. John Lurie posted this. Hart seemed to be in pain outside of the locker room, but Jalen Brunson just now. I assume he's going to play. It's game seven. I assume he's going to play. I just think that he's either going to be super limited and or at some point in the game, he'll be like, I mean, it was actually crazy to see him ask out of the game, what, like 6 minutes into the second half? Six minutes into the second half? Like, I've never seen that from him. Never. Literally never seen that from him.
JJ Redick made a huge point of emphasis on the thing as well.
I'm sure that Pacers fans were like, oh my God, the broadcast, they're making excuses for the Knicks. Like, is it an excuse or is it just a reality that, like, yes, it is very rare to see Josh Hart. Not rare. It is something you never see.
Never see.
Never see.
I wish the broadcast brought up the fact that Haliburton talked shit again when he was up 15. They would never do that, though. Okay, guys. Fucking annoying.
I actually saw this. This is a pretty funny back and forth. I'm sure we all saw that ridiculous Josh Eberle tweet. This
guy, of course, Dylan Bird, per usual. Yeah,
this guy, Dylan_Bird. He quoted, I was like, more lazy Tibbs analysis. Josh then replied to him, laughing my ass off. Okay, Dylan, DMs are open. And then Dylan responded and said, so surely Bickerstaff and Doc Rivers should get the same criticism then, since their teams were decimated too, right? Which is a fair point. Like, this is these teams, like, it's so funny to me because I've listened to like a few pods today and the last couple of days where, and I agreed with it. People were like, yeah, you know, like, obviously it sucks for Cleveland that Mitchell was out, but they competed really hard and they did what, you know, you could expect them to do. And, you know, you can't really ask for much more. And I agree with that. So I just find it weird how, like, but with the Knicks, it's like, oh, well, Tibbs is murdering them in their sleep. It's like, oh. Okay.
Yeah, I saw someone saying, like, Tibbs is running a basketball sweatshop. Like, bruh. Like, what are we doing here? Like, did we not see the article from The Athletic about the Cavs and like what was going on in their locker room because of, you know, Bickerstaff apparently overworking dudes?
Yeah. I don't know. This Jordan Bubb, he must have gotten this from crazy Twitter somewhere. But for the people that were like, why not just put iHeart on Siakam? With Siakam on the floor, the Pacers rebounded 40% of their misses in the first half, with Siakam mostly guarded by Hart. That percentage jumped to 70% in the second half, when a center was guarding Siakam. Yeah, I mean, that's
the downside of having Hartenstein.
Again, it's you're robbing all, every decision Tibbs makes right now is like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yep.
So, like, you're taking something from somewhere else. It's like, you know, it's like in football where, you know, if you have like, if your linebackers are decimated, so you're getting gashed in the run game, you're going to bring up more guys in support, but then that leaves you open to giving up plays in the passing game and vice versa. So, you know, at some point I think they just have to figure out what they just need to if I'm the Knicks, I'm like, who am I going to just live with? Like, who am I just going to live with and say, if you beat us, if this thing beats us, then we take it for what it is. If I'm the Knicks, I'm just going to be like, let Nesmith shoot, let Nembhard shoot. I don't care that Nembhard's, you know, apparently gotten hot from the non-corner threes now all of a sudden. I'm gonna play the percentages. I'm not defending those two guys. I'm closing out to them. I'm short closing to them. And they did a good job with this with Nesmith today. Like, they were going under on a lot of the screens. They weren't chasing him over, and daring him kind of like to pull off the dribble threes if he wanted them. He didn't really do it, and when he did, he was terrible. I'm just gonna let Pascal shoot threes. I'm not defending him. I don't care where, if it's, I know he shot really well from the corners in Indiana. I don't care. I'm just going to let him shoot. I'm going to give that up.
Yeah. I mean, you live with hit possessions ending like that. Just like you live with possessions ending with, like, Tobias Harris corner attempts in the Sixers series. Like, you just live with that shit. If it kills you, then it's meant to be at that point. No?
More drug talk from Omar. We need him to get some Ketorolac too, Omar, and all the other opioids.
Yep. Tortle, Josh Hart, it's time, Habibi. this is from Zachary Kalaman, who I don't think we've seen here before, so thanks for joining us. I can't handle a Josh Hart injury emotionally, so I'm telling myself he just ate too many Mike and Ike's and got a tummy ache.
Bro, that's what I was telling myself in the first half, and then like we went to the locker room. I was like, oh, he probably went to go take a shit.
People were saying that, and like, I saw people joking about that on Twitter and like in our Discord, and I was just like, guys,
bro, it's really a good way to cope. It's a good way to cope with the situation.
Decent coping.
Yeah. It's like, oh, he had to take a shit in the locker room. I get it, you know. Tummy
troubles. you've had experience in that, Sam?
Tummy troubles, yeah.
Really good. Sorry, Sean. From Chris Bernhard. All I'm going to say is on the minute stuff, don't watch NHL playoffs and then look at the injury list after teams eliminated. This goes back to what I was saying before, dude. I feel like the NBA is the only sport where guys will be like, oh, but guys are getting hurt in the playoffs. Like, guys are getting hurt in the playoffs because you're trying to win. That's a foreign concept to you as a guy who...
NBA fans are so coddled, man. That's why.
I just can't.
We're so coddled, and everything needs to have an asterisk, and everything needs to go this way. It's like, stop being a bunch of babies.
And it's not
fans,
like
us Knicks fans. We going through all these injuries. You don't see us like really like literally crying about it. We're just like, hey, this is the reality of the situation. Like, hey, it sucks, but like, it is what it is at this point.
NBA fans are like the most fucking. This all stems from like
they're soft as baby shit.
Bro, it's not even just fans though. This has started with the media for years. They've been talking about the load schedule. Management. Oh, it's so wrong to make these guys play 82 games. Why are we doing this? Oh my God, look at the minutes. They're flying. Look, this is so hard on the human body. No fucking shit, it's hard on the human body. That is why they get paid so much fucking
millions.
You know why professional athletes are professional athletes? Because they can do things physically that normal people cannot do. They cannot do. That is why they get paid top dollar. That is why the league fucking minimum contract is a seven-figure contract. Like, that's why. Because these guys are being pushed and they are being asked to do things that the average person cannot do. And you know what? That's why you get paid that money. That's why these guys are willing to sacrifice their bodies. That's the entire point. They're wired differently than you. They're wired differently than me. They're wired differently than half these fucking guys that write about the game in the fucking media and want to turn everything into like,
you know,
injuries and ref shows and fucking conspiracies and all this shit. Like, shut up, man.
It's like, are we watching the NBA or a QAnon documentary or something?
No, we're watching the fucking Real Housewives of Basketball, bro. Like, it's fucking, oh, this guy didn't wear a nice outfit to the arena today. Oh no, like, shut up, bro. Shut up.
Jordan Bub, this is from Isaiah Hartenstein. The garden is the garden. You get a little bit of extra energy out there, and the fans are amazing. Isaiah Hartenstein, I'm playing game 7 at Madison Square Garden. You know, how much do you want to bet that our good pal Captain Pearl will be at the garden on Sunday? 100%.
Oh, for sure.
Guaranteed.
You have another good friend who's going to be there.
You're ever going?
I'm going to go.
Nice.
Hey. You got
yeah.
Bro, I know them just way.
What'd you say?
No, I didn't say anything. Sam was saying, well.
I was saying, you know, I know like tickets probably right now are going for like absolutely insane amounts.
Yeah, I think the cheapest one is like 500.
Jesus. Somewhere well, up. Only I'm getting in there is if WNBA parlay hits over these next couple days.
How insane, right? Jordan Bubb posted this. Jalen Brunson, I can't be what I was for the first 40 minutes of the game. Sure. I mean, I thought he played pretty well in the third quarter. I don't know about that, but yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, he's always going to say this shit. So it is.
He's like ever since he watched the Derek Jeter documentary, he's just like wired. Like he just like has these like automated messages that just
give me
my spew fault. Out every time there's a loss or something. What else we got here? Okay, first one he says, so will there be a Strickland season wrap up before stream before the draft and after the season ends, or will it be the post game stream? Probably. I haven't thought that far ahead, but probably. Have we done that before? Have we done it differently before? I don't know.
No end of the season talk. We're fucking winning game 7.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Nora says, if Brooks goes 40-plus minutes, Thibs might have sex with him.
Yeah.
He might.
If he goes 40 minutes and, like, actually produces winning stuff, hell yeah. Thibs wouldn't hesitate.
It won't just be Thibs, I'll tell you that.
Dude, I want Burks to play great, and then I just want to see if Captain Pearl will give him some flowers. Shout out to Captain Pearl. I don't say that in a bad way.
No, he's awesome. He's great.
His Burks tweets are so funny.
He tweeted something today about Burks where he's just like, I hate him more than like anybody that's played for the
league. Yo, what the hell? I've never seen that before.
Yes, he was like, I don't think Burks did anything bad today. I just hate him playing basketball. It was like, okay, all
right. I appreciated it because I was like, that's real, dude.
That's really shit, yeah.
That's real hate. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, when people, like, talk about the Knicks, like, yo, talk about the Knicks like that if you really hate the Knicks. Don't come up with all these BS excuses. Like, say you just hate the Knicks. Like, I respect that more than anything.
Jalen Brunson, no matter what the situation is, we're going to have each other's backs. Well, yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hawkeye 420 Sam, Al Horford's Dominican HGH is exclusive. To De Los Mios.
It probably is. That's why he was able to put up 22, 15, and whatever the fuck assists, and 6 threes in game, what was it, 5 or whatever, game 6? I don't even know at this point.
Yeah. Green this. This is Jalen Brunson on Josh Hart. Some come back in and continue to fight. A lot of things physically haven't gone our way, but if you're out there, you're ready to go. That's been our mindset. Josh comes back in and gives it everything he has. What more can you ask for in a teammate? Oh man, that's so cute. They're gonna hug.
You think they're gonna make out?
I'm sure they already do. I know that. They definitely already do. It's fine. It's good. Healthy for team chemistry.
Team chemistry right there. Power of friendship.
Nicholas Menares. Strickland chemistry list.
Yep, learning about drugs and steroids.
Yeah, right.
Chris Bernhardt, he says, at con, imagine telling the media a star played on a torn ACL and MCL. And that's what happened to Joe Thornton before the playoffs, and he proceeded to play 6 extra games with it. Athletes are freaks.
Yeah. And leave that up there for a second, Sam. Do people remember when Alex Mack, who was a center, played with a broken fucking leg in the Super Bowl?
Nobody remembers that. Only you remember that.
Yeah, okay. Maybe I just remember that. But he did. And
Earl Owens came back 4 weeks after he broke his fucking leg in the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah, like, God damn it, bro. Stop being soft. Care about winning. It's not.
I know.
NBA fans are coddled.
I know Omar's in here. He's brought this up before. And I'm sure there are Giants fans in here that remember this. But Ahmad Bradshaw basically played with like broken fucking bones in his foot for like an entire season. So
it's just like, I just don't understand why it is taboo to like, okay.
maybe because of the way NBA media and fans have been coddled and coddling each other.
Steve, what people don't get, people act like the players themselves have no agency in these decisions.
And yeah, it's like the coaches are like forcing them, like with a gun to their head, like you better play.
And to me, like, there's always a fine
murder line. Your family or something. Like,
there's always like a fine line with that stuff where it's like the organization, franchises, medical staff, to some degree, they do owe it to the player to protect them from themselves. But you're always walking this fine line because at the end of the day, if like, for example, Josh Hart, he can play on Sunday, right? He can play on Sunday. But how do you know, like, I don't know what percent is he at? Do you know the risk? Do I know the risk? Like, I don't know what the risk is of him playing through that on Sunday. And mm-hmm. There's so many things that factor into this. And like, look, these guys are competitors. They want to play. Do you think anybody in that Knicks locker room, they want to win this series? They want to get to an Eastern Conference Finals. They want to go further than they went last year, right? Like, they want that. How the hell can you can't, if that guy is like, if he is telling you, I'm good, I can play, I can play through this, I can give you what I have, it's very, very hard in a lot of scenarios to just be like, no, we can't do it. Now, maybe like, there are instances, obviously, where maybe that should happen. Like, the prime example being the Kevin Durant thing in the NBA Finals, where he was playing with a calf strain. But I don't know, honestly, I don't think OG should play on Sunday. I don't think he will. He shouldn't play on Sunday because a hamstring is definitely something where a strain, you come back from that too fast, that can become a full tear.
Yeah.
And then that lasts into next season. And maybe what Hart is dealing with has a similar thing. And in that case, I would say don't play. I would say don't play. But if it's not something where you're like, if it's something where it's like, even if he aggravates it further, it's not going to be a lingering issue long-term. I don't know. I don't know what to say to that. I don't know how to manage that. I don't know what the right answer is. I have not taken the Hippocratic Oath. I'm not a doctor. So I don't know what the answer is to those things. I think you have to like trust the player and trust your medical staff and assume they're making a judgment that's sound and based on solid reasoning.
If it's a psoas strain, it could be kind of similar. But I don't think he really has – I'm not going to speculate. But if it's a psoas strain, I would say it could have a similar effect to the hamstring.
Yeah. Larry Joe said they let Nembhard shoot threes. I know. I agree. And I'm fine with that. What I'm not fine with is flying at Obi Toppin when he does a pump fake. And, you know, like you're not running out on Kevin Durant, dude. It's Obi Toppin. If he's going to – I'm happy to let Obi Toppin try to – if Obi Toppin games you because he makes, like, five threes, so be it.
Nicholas Menares, he said athletes are freaks. Kenneth Lofton Jr. 6'6", 276 and moves like Jaw sometimes. Shout out to Kenneth Lofton Jr. I saw that he, like, lost some weight or whatever when he was playing on the Jazz during
he's
the late
talent.
Portion
he's
of the
season.
He's
got talent, man. He's actually got talent. He just is
yeah.
a big boy.
Big boy.
He eats like me when I was playing fucking O-line.
He eats like yeah, he looks like he eats like he's trying out for like, you know.
Dude, that guy has a career.
He's got to get on that broken jaw diet.
just soup. Omar Yusuf, 65 game rule is so unfair. Make it a 1700 minute rule. Yeah, like I don't wonder. Like it's like people want to make reasons for players to play less, and I don't know, like personally I like watching NBA players play basketball, and I find
yeah I don't like believe. Watching the two-way guys play.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe there are a lot of people that loved watching like the Grizzlies this year. I didn't. I thought they were terrible to watch because they were terrible to watch. This is from Yajman Dabiru. Is it worth forcing Josh OG to play and chew off a win on Sunday if it increases the risk of long-term injury into next season? No. That's how, like, to me, you should be consistent on that. That's effectively the decision that was made on Julius Randle, where it was like, hey, you could play but there's a very strong chance you'll significant, like you'll re-injure this, you'll injure this further, and it'll be become an even longer term injury, and you're gonna need the surgery either way. So, like, no, I don't think it's worth it, and I don't think they should do that. If those guys are at real risk of long term injury, like a long term injury, especially one that could linger into next season,
they don't need that.
Yeah,
then don't play going into next year.
Yeah.
Jordan Bubby says it's not a given just because it's at home. We get to go out there and play. We get to go out there and play and earn it. Jalen Brunson on the mindset into game seven at MSG. Yeah. I mean, that's my mindset as a fan, at least. It's like, hey, these motherfuckers could lose at home. I mean, anything's up for grabs. I mean, we've seen Tyrese Maxey hit bullshit shots to win the game for the Sixers on the road in MSG. So it's just like, anything could happen.
The shit Terrell Owens was on is illegal in all of Europe. It's from Anashe Mapuranga.
There's a lot of shit that we give around in the States that's illegal in Europe, bro.
He also said, Anashe Mapuranga says, Kenny Lofton Jr. needs to put one knee in the ground for the Giants.
Dude, Dexter Lawrence needs a running mate, all right? Okay?
You think he's a good, he could be a good one tech?
Yes, he could be a great one tech. He could be one of the best one techs, but he likes being soft.
I think this is we can do this.
I like that.
Jordan Bubb posted this. This is a decent question. OG Anunoby contract situation will be interesting to say the very least. Does the panel agree? Because injuries aren't going to be a one time thing with him.
No, they were never a one time thing with him in Toronto. I mean, that was always the thing with him.
And
it's weird with OG too, because it's not like this one injury that's always lingering all the time. It's like he'll have like a calf issue, then he'll have like a hamstring issue, then he'll have like the elbow issue, then he'll have like a freaking neck issue. Like, it's always something new with him. It's so weird.
His injuries are like whack-a-mole.
Yes. Perfect. Yes.
They knew what the deal was when they traded for him.
Yes.
I don't think it's going to affect the contract situation, because I think they understood that, and they made the choice that risk is worth it, because when he's healthy, he makes us a legitimate contending team. And that's the risk reward that they chose. So, you know, that's also what, like, this is also a reason why I'm not like writing a fucking sob story for the Knicks, because look, you have like OG and Mitch, very specifically, those two guys have been injury prone through their careers. These are guys that you've chosen to roster, trade for in the case of OG. So you have to assume that risk. You have to assume that risk, and it's not just bad luck that OG and Mitch got hurt, because they've been susceptible to injuries in their career. Again, that's the trade-off that you're getting. I mean, when they're healthy, they're extremely impactful players, but you can't always depend on them to be there. So the front office knew that. It's the other injuries that really kill you, like the Randall one, because that's so freaky. I mean, the Boyan one is like, it's just a tough play. And it wasn't dirty, obviously. Batum's clearly going for the ball. It just sucks. That's part of the game. And, you know, it is what it is. And
how could Thibs do those?
Yeah, right.
Swin?
Yeah. And then the Josh Hart injury today, I mean, I don't even know. It's like that came from what? Like, it came, I don't even know. Like, it just came from like Nembhard hitting Josh Hart in the chest at one point, and the fuck are you gonna do? Like, it's a contact sport. It's gonna happen. So
yeah.
I
would say I would hope the contract reflects his health status, but I don't care if it doesn't. That's like the best way that I could put it, because he's gonna get paid regardless, right? And we don't have an option. We pretty much have to pay him. So if it ends up being that they work a number where it kind of reflects him not being the healthiest player, I'm all for it. If it doesn't happen, it is what it is, and we'll live with it.
Yep. John Paricelli asks, what are the chances we get a 40-point game out of Brunson and the Big Ragu on Sunday?
More likely out of Brunson than
pick Big one. Ragu. Yeah, pick one. I think Dante could easily get like 25 though.
Yeah. Hit some threes for sure. But I'm hoping we get a game out of both of them. I mean,
You're going to need a game out of both of them. You're going to need a game out of everybody, really. You probably need him, Deuce, and Brunson to combine for, you want to say, 75 points? Something like that?
75% of the team's points.
Sure.
Yeah. They need to get Dante. Dante needs to get like 20 shots up in this game at least.
They need to get threes up the team.
Yeah, I want Dante to just keep shooting threes. I want it like he had those games this year where he had like 17, 18 threes. Like I don't care where he's shooting from. A 28
Yeah,
a 28-foot three for him is a fine shot. That's like a good outcome on a play. I want him taking a shit ton.
We shot today 34 threes. So overall, I mean, we got up 8 more threes than them. Brunson, Deuce, and Dante went 10 for 22. Do it again.
Yeah, it's way more. It needs to be fucking 35.
I was going to say 27, but yeah. Fuck it.
35. They're just
Dante should be at 12. Yeah.
Yajvin Dabiru. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, by the way. If there's any silver lining to the injuries, it's that the front office has more insight on their injury-prone players and can address depth at those positions specifically. I agree. That is,
I like that angle.
Definitely. I mean, it's definitely used. Like, this is why the playoffs are so valuable, because you learn things about your team that you wouldn't have known otherwise. They obviously knew that some of these guys were injured anyway. But yeah, so like now you know, okay, OG is gonna miss X games. We need to have a better backup, a better option that we can pivot to if he's out for an extended period. Oh, if Hart is out, we need, like, these are all things that you learn. I think they had the right idea with Bogdanovich. And again, it just sucks they never got to see this team close to healthy. We've talked about that forever, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Correct. I feel like they've addressed the injury prone positions anyway. And like, it's just been such an abundance of injuries. Like, we have Precious playing real minutes, you know, like Alec Burks playing real minutes. These are guys who wouldn't touch the court, let alone like even, I don't know. Tibbs wouldn't even have a thought of playing them if we were fully healthy. So I think we did a good job of knowing what those weaknesses were with our depth. And it just so happened that everything happened at once. It's like everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And we're still here. And we still
have Murphy's Law is what happened to the Knicks this year.
Yeah.
What could go wrong did go wrong.
Like my great co-host Schwinn said, it is what it is.
This is Bob Myers.
I'm here that tonight.
Yeah. Bob Myers on the ESPN post game tonight. He said, if the Knicks don't win on Sunday, it'll be because of health. The way they've fought with who they've lost already is as commendable as any NBA team I've ever seen.
Thank you, my great friend Bob Myers. I've always
said, thank you, Coach Myers.
I've always said James Wiseman at pick number 2 was the right spot.
yeah. Dude, this one that you quoted was really funny, Sam. OSHA needs to kick the tires around the Knicks facilities. I'm sure there is a violation of workers' rights in there somewhere. Tibbs running a basketball sweatshop. Yeah. I mean, look, let me say this. If the Knicks want to pay me 4 years, $81 million, whatever the fuck they gave Josh Hart, to run around and play 48 minutes a night and kill myself, I'll do it. I'll do it.
And play with your best friends? Hell yeah.
I'll do it. Nora says, God, those bogey threes would hit so hard in this Pacers series. Even if you went 5 of 12, they would be
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Correct.
Bruh, it was like, what was it? What game was that? That was game what? 2?
1-2. 1-2.
Game 2, he was fantastic.
Game 2, he hit like 2 of the timeliest threes we needed, man.
And the one that he missed one that we got a rebound on, I think that was the one where Deuce like ripped it from Maxie and ripped it and put a layup in.
Yeah, shout out to Boyan for missing it just right.
Perfectly.
Oh, great. Now everyone's talking about the shut up, fucking losers.
JL, it's bad for the rest factor, but just strictly as a fan, I prefer game 7 at 3:30 rather than these 8:30 starts. I agree. Dude, 8:30 tonight was just ridiculous.
8:30 on a Friday on the East Coast? Like, what are we doing, Adam Silver?
Just start at 8. Doing? Just start at 8 at least. Come on. I guess he wants, like, the West Coast. I guess I know he wants the West Coast eyeballs because it's the only game tonight, but come on. 8 o'clock is fine. 8:30 is fucking crazy. It was 8:30 local, too, in Indiana, by the way, which is fucking insane.
Like, you can't make it like 7:45.
Didn't they have a 9 o'clock tip off for one of these East Coast games this year too?
Wasn't that a Bucks Pacers game?
I think so.
I think it was. I think it was like. I'm not even gonna go. Back.
I'm pretty sure you're right. I think it was a Bucks Pacers game. I think it was.
Yeah.
Yajvin Dabiru asks, does the Knicks' aggressive play style by crashing the boards affect player durability? Just playing devil's advocate, I don't think it's necessarily true. I don't think so. They've been like. The past 2 years, they were the past 3 years, really, prior to this, they're one of the most, they had like some of the least games lost to injury in the league. This year was just.
I was bringing that up the other day. I was talking to some people and I was like, it's crazy how like the Knicks have been one of the most durable teams these last couple of years. And then this year, they finally get like an elite team and then everybody just decides to die. It's just like, what the hell?
Oh yeah, that this is right. Yeah, Omar Youssef. Yeah, Knicks Sixers game 6 was a 9 p.m. game. Yeah, that was what was that? Was that on a fucking like Thursday or something too?
Yeah, it was like a weird ass day, like a Thursday, 9 p.m. Thursday game. Like, who does that?
Fucking Adam Silver.
Give me David Sternberg.
Chris Bernhardt. He says, "Where is Chris Copeland when you need him? I am in dire need of a 30 wall from this motherfucker." Chris Copeland. He should pull up to the Garden game 7 for some magic.
Yeah. Chris Copeland, bring him back.
I mean, they're bringing like Kylo Quinn and those type of guys back. I mean, why not Chris Copeland? He actually played in the playoff game. Nicholas Maneris says, going back to athletes make the money they do because they do what normal people can't is not wrong, but there's a huge difference between pro athlete and good at your job. You can be 250 plus and shoot like Steph. Ken Fluffton Jr. and Josh Giddey aren't an amazing example, in my opinion. Maybe even Bogey, too. Bogey is slow but can shoot. KLJ is fat but moves and uses his body. Giddey plays his matchup perfectly. They are all not athletically inclined but are great at what they do. Very weird choices of players, by the way.
It's more like guys who have a niche or a niche, right? And just like, you can get paid for doing this.
Really well.
Yeah.
Dante said this. This is what you live for. This is why you signed with the Knicks. The Garden, game 7. Well.
Yep. Well, get ready to shoot the ball.
Come on. It's time to do it for the Italian-American community, Dante.
Oh, man. How many tracksuits do you think are going to be at MSG?
Tracksuits. Just a lot. A lot of nice designer suits, maybe too.
You guys know the Respect the Schmear guy or no? You guys know him?
No.
Okay, never mind. I was showing my youth. Okay, it's cool. You won't get it. Fine. the younger crowd watching will get it though.
JL says the funny thing about Adam's scheduling is if the Cavs won game 5, our game today would have been at 6:30. Like, that's so fucking weird, man. What the
fuck?
Yeah,
Adam Silver is so weird.
JL also says this fake ass shit about the Knicks dressing in all black is hilarious. Deuce is literally wearing bright ass green. He was wearing neon green. I already did it, but he was wearing neon green. Hart and Hartenstein were wearing white tees,
white shirts, like
yeah, blatant. White tees. And Jericho Sims was wearing the most like homeless ass fucking gray hoodie and gray sweatpants outfit possible. There's also somebody else. I don't know who the hell it was wearing like a blue shirt that you can see in the background. So. Yeah,
I didn't want to.
Well, it wasn't like 2013 when those dudes decided to.
Well, they like literally. I mean, that was like a thing.
Planned.
Actually, yeah. I'm sorry.
And they were all old heads too. It's like, dude,
you no guys... way. There's literally no way this team was like, hey guys, let's all dress in black. Like, let's dress for their funeral. And like, there's no way Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart and Tibbs were like,
yeah, it definitely screams old head though. From that 2013 squad, it definitely screams like, hey, this is an old head thing to do.
Screams like the old head thread on Twitter.
People won't get that, but I wish they would.
Oh man.
You guys just made me think about the Tyrese Halliburton Game 7 fit. It's gonna be atrocious. I haven't seen it yet, but it's fucking terrible.
I mean, every fit he wears is horrible. Remember he was wearing that freaking suit with the Cookie Monster fur on it earlier this year?
What? Are you serious?
You didn't see that suit?
No.
Look up Tyrese Halliburton Cookie Monster suit.
I saw that he wore a blazer today with like fucking camo cargo pants. That's like the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Dude, what the fuck is this suit?
I told you.
I don't know, like some of these NBA players are wearing shit that I'm just like,
dude, they have too much money, bro. They just fucking do shit.
Fucking like everything Harden wears, I'm just like,
they need to be robbed. I'm sorry. They need to be robbed. Some of these dudes need to be robbed. Like, why are you wearing that Cookie Monster suit? Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Dude, it's just like on his like upper arm, that's it.
And on the bottom too. Oh, it's like this long ass like suit jacket with like a fur on the bottom.
Hideous. Yeah,
but I want to see if he's gonna say anything all of Game 7. Like if the game's close, I just want to see if he's gonna like try to go up to Deuce and go like this. That was like so cringe, by the way. Like he did that and like he tried to like, go up to his face and was like, "You're too small." It's like, dude, you're trying way too hard. Like you have to be overcompensating for something.
Also, like after the first possession of the game, how many points did you have, bro? You made what, 2 contested shots after that shit, and you're fucking saying too small? Like, Siakam should slap him, honestly.
Siakam should be like, "Hey, act like you've been here before,
dude." Like fucking be serious. I've been the best player on the team for this series. What are you talking this shit for? You're not even the one backing it up.
What did he say? Did he say something?
No.
Who, Halliburton?
Like, Halliburton's doing this. That's
he was like doing the too small thing to Deuce after they went up like 15
he,
or whatever.
He made one shot on Deuce and he traveled on it.
Yeah.
So, well, he talked shit to him twice because he did this.
After the step back and then he did a post fadeaway and then he was like too small.
Yeah.
It's like Deuce has been frying you all night, dude.
The like, Deuce scored 21 points. Like while Deuce is looking at him, bro. Deuce is looking at the ball getting inbounded and he's chirping in Deuce's ear. Fucking go stand in front of him like a man so Deuce can fucking slap you. Whatever.
Good job. Good job. Very proud of you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Khan, he says you'll get this.
It is, bro. Yeah, okay, so obviously Nick is one of my friends. He's Greek. But Atsaki is like when a kid goes in the pool for the first time and they have like the floaty.
Oh, the floaties?
Yeah. It's like a floaty, but it's a Cookie Monster fur.
JL says, "I can't wait to get excited for Game 7. And then
bro, that's going
to
be me. I'm going to open my window.
Tim steps on the court.
I'm going to open my window as soon as I see Sims go to the scores table.
Is it so that you could jump or so that you could throw the TV? Or both?
Who knows? Whichever thought comes first. Whichever intrusive thought comes first. Bro, I can't take seeing Sims. Like, did this guy get an 8-second violation like the last game?
In the NBA.
Like bro, it's playoffs. I can't see Jericho Sims on the court. Like, I just can't.
Can I just I'm saying, dude, game sevens are weird. The least the most like script thing would be Jericho Sims having a fucking monster game out of nowhere.
Imagine Jericho Sims like 2 poster dunks on somebody in this game to like really get the garden going.
Do you remember he had a game? I'm pulling this up. We played Utah last year, and I think Mitch was out. Jericho Sims had 13 and 11 in 25 minutes in that game.
Yeah, Jericho Sims, give us that, please. If Sims is going to play you on Sunday, please.
Just saying, game sevens are weird, man. Game sevens are weird. Weird stuff.
The Deuce and Sims pick and roll from 2 years ago. Let's bring that back. Let's bring that back.
If nothing else, give me a really hard screen on Tyrese Haliburton. That's a, that's all I need. That's all I need. I just need you to let him know that you're there.
It's all right. We know Haliburton loves to chirp at home. He won't say anything when he gets to the Garden.
Yeah, he won't say anything at the Garden. He doesn't want to wake up Brunson at MSG, man.
He's a front runner. We know what they are.
Yeah.
Chris, he kind of fried you, Sam. You want to read that right there?
No, I don't. shout out to Eric Adams for our salary, by the way.
I'm pretty sure your salaries were rough before Eric Adams got on the
scene. He didn't help anything.
More use of Josh Hart, Willis Reed moment soon come. Yeah. It could be.
Two Brunson had his moments in one series. That would be special.
Yeah. Also, I know nobody brought it up in here, but like, I swear, if there's any Knicks fan that was like, anybody that was complaining about the whistle at any point tonight needs to just stop. Like that. Yeah. There was no issue with the whistle tonight. It was fine.
We burned ourselves. There is no ref to be. The ref even gave us a technical free throw, bro. Like, thank you, Zach Zorba. We appreciate that. We didn't capitalize, but thanks.
I don't know what that. I didn't even see what that Nembhard was when, at the end of the half, because even the way they explained it, like, I was like, all right, I get what you're saying. Can you actually just show me what you did?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, the broadcast camera didn't catch it, so even on the replays, like, they. Granted, it's also 1 second left, so they didn't think that they were going to have to catch anything. But they looked like they were pushing, and then after that, the camera like panned away to the shot that McConnell fucking he made that right that half court shot, I think.
Yeah, but it was after. No, we had the ball. The McConnell one was at the end of like the third quarter. Like that. Okay. Yeah.
But regardless, like they were just pushing, and I think the ref probably caught Nembhard doing it. He didn't catch Dante doing it, so. Cool.
And no, it was because he like, and also it's because he warned Nembhard from the previous Jalen Brunson thing too, because he had pushed Jalen Brunson, the play right before in that like a dead ball situation.
He woke him up, man. I'm telling you.
Hope it transfers over to Game 7.
I hope so. From Kroby Brett, we need a full time Knicks doctor for the Strickland. Give me 2 years, buddy. I got you.
There you go. Hawkeye 420 pissing away game 3 will just haunt me this offseason and lose game 7. I mean, look, this is what happens though when you're beat up, because you just your margin for error is not there, so you lose that game because of self-inflicted errors, and then you obviously Nembhard hits the fucking hero ball 3 that you're like, okay, well, what the fuck are we going to do with that? Yeah, I mean, it sucks. They lost that game. That was a game they had and they lost it, but like, this is the like they don't have, and they don't have that margin for error, so it definitely sucks. So hopefully, you know, they come back and win game 7, and then we can check out, because that Celtics series will probably not be fun to watch for all of us.
I will be watching it with the easiest of ease of mind I'll ever have watching a series ever.
I mean, I think I'm going to watch game 7 with a pretty solid ease of mind at this point, because I just don't really.
Yeah. I mean, the rest of these games for the Knicks, it's like you just ease of mind.
Yep. Yep.
I might put some parlays in. Might be sweating those, but yeah.
How much should I bet on Pacers money line in game 7?
I don't know, man.
Like, how much does the Knicks win? Like, I would sacrifice $250 for a Knicks win.
$250?
Yes.
How much would $250 get you on Knicks money line or Pacers money line?
No, Pacers money line. Like, I need the greatest emotional hedge of all time.
It would get you. You'd put $250 to win $280.
What are the Pacers like only -2 or something? +2 or something?
They're +112. Knicks are favorite at home, of course, in a game 7.
Yeah. We were minus 5.5 in game 5. Remember? Or are you not as much of a degenerate as I am?
I don't remember. No. I only put my money on the crazy odd stuff. I don't do money lines and spreads.
Yeah, I forgot. You get more betting money than me, Sam. I forgot about that.
All right, let's not go there. These playoffs have been very rough on people.
Sadly, Hawkeye for 20. We will never know.
Well, we'll know next year.
Yeah, we'll know next year. But also, like, maybe we still will know if we handle business on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We good?
Yep, we're good. All right, everyone. We'll be back after game 7 of this Eastern Conference semifinals. Adam Silver gets his wish. He gets 2 game 7s on a Sunday. Another guy is just like,
I bet both these games are going to be disgusting, by the way.
Oh, of course. I mean, the Timberwolves and Nuggets series has been the most insane series yet. I mean, with all these different blowouts and all these different outcomes of these games and stuff like that. But yeah, right. 2 game 7s on Sunday. Knicks, Pacers game 7 at MSG. Place to be, 3:30. We'll be live after the game to hopefully discuss a Knicks win. But yeah, check out all the links in the description. We got links to the site, merch, Patreon, and Twitter. If you're watching on Twitter, follow us already. Everyone, enjoy your Saturday. Peace out.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.